through 6. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. If you want to see some of God's handiwork, what he's saying is just look up above you. The heavens declare the glory of God. They show his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. That means day after day, each day, God speaks through his creation, through the things that he has made. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That means you'll not go anywhere in the world, whether you're talking about some major city or some remote jungle, there is no place that is not in some way affected by what God has made. His voice is heard throughout the world through the things he has created. Verse 4, their line is gone out through, look at it, all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, that is in the heavens, in the firmament, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He is, talking about the sun, going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. All right, I want you to look now at Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We know this is the day that you have made. And I pray that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for this world, your creation, the things that you have made. We thank you for how we're blessed through the things that you have made. We thank you that we have the privilege to live and to be here, to see your handiwork, to hear what it has to say. And Lord, we're thankful that you sent your Son, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. Lord, I pray that in all things here today, he would be glorified and honored and exalted and lifted up on high, that he might draw all men unto himself. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to every heart. If there's anyone lost that needs to be saved, I pray this day would be their day of salvation. If any of us as saved people need to make any changes, any decisions, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to do what we need to do. And Lord, may we give you the glory for all that is accomplished. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for the message today I take from Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2. The title is The Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness. And I want to get started by saying the reason I read these two particular passages of Scripture is because they both show that the sun, S-U-N, the sun up in the solar system that was created by the Lord on the fourth day of creation, is a type or a picture, you might say, not a exact image, but a type or a picture of the sun, S-O-N. In other words, the sun in the solar system is a type or a picture of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In our first passage, Psalm chapter 19, if you paid attention there, you'll remember that the sun is likened to a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That's what it says in Psalm 19, verses 4 and 5. The sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And if you've read your Bible and studied your Bible, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is a bridegroom. Amen? Matter of fact, he is the bridegroom of all bridegrooms. He is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. So when it says the son is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, it teaches us that that son that we see every day, or most every day to some extent, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Malachi chapter 4, our second passage, we see in verse number 2, that Jesus Christ is called, notice if you still have your Bible open there, the Son, capital S. Y'all see that? Now it's spelled S-U-N, like the sun up above, but clearly this is talking not about that sun, but about a person, about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, you see the connection, the association between the sun and the solar system and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. My intention in this message today is to point out a few, not all by any means, but a few of the ways that the sun in our solar system typifies or pictures the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some ways that they are comparable to each other. And my desire here is not to give you some type of astrology lesson. My desire is to exalt the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my desire this morning. I hope that when we leave here today, we can say that it has been good not just to be in the house of the Lord, but in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's my desire. Now I want to say, first of all, this morning, going to get right on into the message. One thing that the sun up above does that is like the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is it betters our lives. It betters our lives. I want you to look here at Malachi chapter 4, so keep your Bibles handy. But let me say this. When I talk about the sun up above bettering our lives in this instance, I'm talking about how the sun up above actually has certain healing capabilities. It has the ability to do us well, to better our physical health. And this is something that I learned about a long time ago, and I'm sure many of you know it, but I looked all of this information up again in preparation for the message and kind of looked over it once again to refresh my mind. But how many of you in here know that the sun puts out a particular vitamin that is very good for our bodies? Y'all know what that vitamin is? Vitamin D. And if you look it up, you'll find that vitamin D is good for a lot of things. For example, vitamin D can actually help fight heart disease. That's one thing that it can do. It can help fight heart disease. Those of us that live down here in South Alabama who pride ourselves in frying everything we eat could use all the help with heart disease we can get. Amen. Absolutely. And one thing that's good to help fight heart disease is vitamin D. Another thing it helps fight is prostate cancer. Prostate cancer. And that is something that you hear about all the time. And it seems so prevalent in our world today. And one thing that vitamin D is good for is to fight prostate cancer. Another thing that it helps, and I found this interesting, is dementia. I think we used to call that Alzheimer's, but most people refer to it now as dementia. That's what they call it. And one thing that vitamin D helps with is dementia. So the sun actually has certain healing capabilities. It is recommended, by the way, and this is some information I read, like I said, but it is recommended that everybody who is able get at least 10 to 15 minutes of sunlight every day. 10 to 15 minutes of sunlight every day. Because in that sunlight, you get the vitamin D that actually helps in ways to make your body healthy. So one thing that the sun up above will do is it will better your life in that it can actually help heal or prevent certain problems in your life. Now, folks, I can't speak for anybody in here, but I can speak for myself and say that I know for a fact the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can better your life. Just like that sun has capabilities of healing, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, can heal any infirmity that a person may have. He can heal any physical infirmity. It was Brother Scott gave good testimony this morning to a woman who has been declared free of cancer. Isn't that wonderful? There's other people in our congregation that share that same testimony, people throughout this country and throughout the world who share that. Now, I'm not sure that all of these people give the glory to God, but you and I understand where that healing comes from, don't we? We know that if somebody gets whole, it's not just because some smart man come up with some good medicine to take care of the problem. We know that the reason anybody gets healed of any kind of infirmity is because there is a God in heaven that brings about that healing. We understand that. Our Savior, the Son of Righteousness, can heal any type of infirmity. I read in the Bible of how he made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He made the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He did things for people that clearly no human being on this earth could do. He healed people that were sick with the palsy. He healed people that were sick with issues of blood that had gone to one doctor after another, had spent everything that they could possibly spend, no more resources. They were tapped out, and then the Lord Jesus Christ came along and did for them what no doctor on this planet could ever do. I read in the Bible about how he healed people that had been bowed over by Satan for 18 years of their life. The Bible says. You know who did all that? The one I'm bragging on this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. And I'm just crazy enough to believe what the Bible says. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So if he healed people back in the Old Testament, if he healed people in the New Testament, I believe he can still heal people right now. I believe there's no infirmity, no matter how bad, that if he chooses, and I understand he doesn't always choose, but if he so chooses, he can heal any sickness that anybody has, no matter what stage it's in, no matter where it's at. He can heal our physical infirmities. I read in the Bible where he actually raised people from the dead. He did it. I'm not talking about this Mickey Mouse mess you see on TV all the time where they just trying to sucker you into giving them your money every month. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Benny Hinn, Nora Roberts, and all that other mess that you see. I'm talking about genuine healing. I'm talking about God bringing people back from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I'll never have anything, any physical problem he can't take care of. That's what I know. He can heal people physically, but I also know that he can heal people spiritually. The greatest sickness in the world is not physical, right? Right? You understand that? Now, I'm not in any way minimizing a physical infirmity that a problem has. It's very real. It's very serious. But let me say this to you. You can be as sick as a human being can possibly be and never get over that thing and die and still go to heaven. Amen. But you can have the best health in the world Never be sick a day in your life, but without Jesus Christ, you'll go straight to hell when you die. The worst sickness in this world is not physical. The worst sickness is spiritual. And there are a lot of people in our world today that are sick spiritually. And the Bible says this about our Savior, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And listen to this. And by His stripes we are healed. Isn't that what it says? That's what the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 53. Most people like to apply that always to physical healing, and I'm sure it has something to do with that, but it also means that He can heal people spiritually. If a person is dead spiritually, and every person that is lost is dead in trespasses and sins, that's what the Bible says. But if a person is lost and they're dead spiritually, by His stripes they can be healed, amen. They can be quickened, made alive through the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just healing for unsaved people, but healing for saved people as well. Sometimes us saved people get sick, don't we? Spiritually, I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about coming down with a cold or flu or sinus trouble. I'm talking about sometimes us saved people get out of place, don't we? Can we admit that this morning? Sometimes we backslide. Sometimes we get away from God. Sometimes our heart isn't right. Our spirit isn't where it needs to be. But here's the good news this morning. I hope you came to get something. I'm going to give you a little good news this morning. Good news, if you came in here sick spiritually this morning, you can leave healed today. The Son of Righteousness can heal you. Look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with" what? Healing. Healing in His wings is what the scripture says. So first of all, that Son up there can better your life. It has healing capability, just like the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this secondly. Not only can the Son better your life, but secondly, the Son can build up your life. Build up your life. I'm talking about how the Son up above can cause growth. As we look around in this world here today, we see the effects of the Son on the things that we plant, the things that God planted, just things that God made. How many of you understand that all of this stuff lives and grows because of the Son up above? You take away the Son and nothing would exist, amen? Nothing at all. Everything would be gone. If you took away the Son above, the grass would die, the trees would die, everything would die. You and I would die without the Son. That Son up above causes growth. Things get bigger and taller because of the Son. And without that Son, not one single thing would exist on this planet. Isn't that just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you understand this morning that without Him we wouldn't be here today? It is He that created us. The Bible says that by Him were all things made, and without Him was nothing made that is made. First of all of creation is here because of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But He is the one that keeps everything alive down here. This is what the scripture says. The scripture says that by Him all things, did y'all hear that? All things consist. Everything is held together. The Bible says that all things are upheld by the word of His power. Without the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing would exist down here. But I'm talking here specifically about how the Son brings about growth. How things live and grow and get stronger and are healthy because of the Son. Folks, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, causes growth. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ can transform a babe in Christ into a fully mature saint of God? He can do that. The Lord Jesus Christ, through our relationship with Him can transform our lives and help us to grow up spiritually and get strong and healthy and be the kind of people that He desires for every one of His people to be. The Bible says He can make us perfect in every good work to do His will. That's what the Son of God can do in our lives. If you're in need of some growth this morning, if you need to be built up and strengthened in your life, if you can recognize and admit that maybe you've kind of got stunted in your growth and you're not moving along like you need to, I just want to give you a little more good news this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ can help you grow if you'll let Him. He can strengthen you to a level like you never imagined. I think about this. There's a little one chapter book in your Bible in the New Testament called Philemon, ever how you want to say it. You know what that story is about? In Philemon, it's about how Paul writes to this fellow named Philemon to encourage him to receive back a slave that belonged to him who had ran away. And when this slave, whose name was Onesimus, ran away from Philemon, he was lost. He did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the way, somehow, God directed that man to where he ran into, guess who? The Apostle Paul. And through Paul's witness and testimony, that man got saved. And Paul writes Philemon and tells him about him and tries to encourage him to receive him back. It's interesting to me how he describes that man after he gets saved. He tells him, he says, look, when he left you, he was unprofitable. But now he is not only profitable to you, but also to me. And when you receive him back, don't just receive him back like he was, just a slave, and that's all he means to you. But you receive him back as a brother in the Lord. But Paul tells him in that letter, look, he once was completely unprofitable, of no value, spiritually speaking, whatsoever. He might have been a hard worker and could do things on the farm, but spiritually he was a zero. He was of no value. But guess what? When he met the one I'm bragging on this morning, he became profitable for the kingdom of God. I'm trying to tell you, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, can change your life. He can make you of value. He can give you importance. He can give you direction. He can give you meaning. He can transform your life and build you up to the point where you are actually of value and profit in the things of God. That's what Jesus Christ can do for you. The Son will better you. The Son will build you. Here's the third thing that I want to mention. I got to move on because I'm running out of time. I want to say the Son will bless you. The Son will bless you. We're not going to take the time to go back because, like I say, I'm about out of time. But back over in Psalm 19 where we read first, it said there in verse number 6 that there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Y'all remember that? Now let me ask y'all something. Aren't there times when the heat that the sun puts out a blessing? Aren't there times when that's a blessing? Most of you in here by now know that I like to deer hunt. Amen. I'm not near as mad at them as I used to be, I'll say that, but I still do like to go. I was thinking about it this morning as I was going over this message in my mind. Again, I was thinking about how mad I used to be with them. I used to would get up 4 o'clock in the morning, go climb up a tree, sit on the most uncomfortable piece of metal you ever felt in your life, rear end, just freeze to it. It's so cold, you know what I'm talking about? Pouring down rain, just set through it all just to kill a deer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those of you that hunt know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to do that anymore, okay? I ain't near that mad with them anymore. I am almost to the point that if I can't get in a shooting house with a heater and windows and all that, I ain't even going. I mean, it's just about got that bad. But I can think back in my mind of some days when I got up, man, just bitter cold. go out and get in a tree stand, and my feet, I believe if you thumped my toes, they would have broke off. Y'all feeling me? I'm talking about just cold, and you know what you're doing? Pitch dark early in the morning, cold. You know what you're doing? Praying for that sun to come up. Just can't wait for the sun to come up over those trees and getting, I think, man, if I can just hang on till the sun comes up, if I can just hang on till the sun comes up, I can make it, amen? If I can just hang on and, man, that thing come up over those trees and start getting down on you and you can see the steam coming off of your body because it's warming you up and you actually begin to warm up as the time goes by and you start feeling better. And many days I have sat in a tree stand and had that sun warm up my body and thank God for that sun. Thank Him for the blessing that it's being to me. Y'all following what I'm saying here? The Son of Righteousness will bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you in ways you can't possibly imagine. I think of another thing, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 15, the Bible talks about how the sun, one of the reasons why God made the sun was to give light. Can you imagine how horrible it'd be just to walk around all the time in the dark, just stumbling around in the dark? That light that the sun gives is wonderful. It is a blessing to have the light. The Lord Jesus Christ blesses our lives. He provides for our physical and material needs. Amen. Can we all say we're blessed this morning? Can we all say that our blessings come from Him? He's blessed us well beyond anything we could possibly imagine. He's helped us so much physically and materially and emotionally. He's done so much for us. But most of all, again, He blesses us spiritually. Just like that sun will warm you up when you're cold, the Lord Jesus Christ can warm you up when you're cold. Thought about a passage of Scripture where it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In our world today, wouldn't you say iniquity is abounding? It's everywhere. You know what I see happening? I see a lot of God's people getting cold in their heart, getting cold toward God just because of all the stuff that's going on in the world around us. I'm telling you something, friend. If you came here this morning with a cold heart, the Lord Jesus Christ can warm you up. He can warm you up again. He can help you to fall in love with Him all over again. He can help you get back to that place where He is the supreme love of your life, where nobody and nothing else means more to you than Him. And that's the goal, right? That should be the desire, the thing that we want more than anything, for Him to be our first love, for our heart to be warm toward Him like nobody else in the world. And I'm not saying we shouldn't love others, but folks, we ought to love Him more than we love anybody, amen? We ought to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He ought to mean more to us than anybody or anything on this earth. Paul talks about how in the last days perilous times shall come. And he says one reason is because men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He doesn't say in the last days men won't love God, does he? He says they'll just love pleasure more than they love God. And a lot of folks this morning, their heart's cold. I'm talking about saved people now. Their heart's cold this morning. They fell in love with some pleasure and it means more to them now than the Lord Jesus Christ does. And that's not how it ought to be, amen? And I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. No show of hands, no nudging one another, none of that kind of stuff. But you be real with yourself. Be honest with yourself this morning. Is there anything in this world right now you love more than Him? Is there any person, is there any pleasure that has come between you and Him so that now your heart isn't as warm toward Him as it once was? If that is the case, I got some good news. He can warm you back up. That's the thing about it. If you fall out of love with Him and you get cold toward Him, you don't have to die that way. Isn't that good? You can be warm in your heart toward the Lord again. You can get back to that place. The devil wants you to think in your mind that if you get away from him, you can't ever get back. The good news is you can get back this morning. You can be warm in your heart again, in love with him, just like it was when you first met him. Back at that time when you first met him and he meant everything to you, you can get back to that place in your life if you want to. The Son of Righteousness can warm you back up and give you light, open your eyes and show you things and bless you spiritually like you can't possibly imagine. That's what he can do. And I got to end because I'm out of time, but I do want to give you one more thing. And all of these that I've talked about so far have been real positive. But I'm going to end with one that's not so positive. But it's just as real and it's just as important. And I want to say this, that sun up there will burn you. You know that? How many of you in here ever been sun burnt before? You stay out in that sun too long, it'll burn you up. And it'll burn up the ground. You get out in this summertime heat like it is now, thank God we've still been getting some rain all along. But some of us in here can remember summers down here where it got real hot and we didn't get any rain, or grass died and the gardens died and everything around's drying up. And we say, well, I planted a garden, but the sun just burned it up. That's what we say. That sun will burn you. Look here at Malachi chapter 4 with me now. The Bible says in verse number 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. Verse number 3, he's talking to the righteous and he says, ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Folks, there's coming a day when the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come back to this earth, and he's going to come back in flaming fire taking vengeance. This is Bible I'm giving you now. This is not stuff I'm making up. This is right out of the Word of God. He's going to come back in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, all that are proud and that do wickedly, they're going to be stubble. They're going to be burnt up in ashes under the feet of the righteous in that day. This is talking about unsaved people that will literally be burned by the Son of Righteousness when he comes back. But here it is. Even worse than that, talking about out of the frying pan and into the fire, I'm going to tell you something else that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do, contrary to what people want you to believe. And I feel so desperately sorry in my heart for people that get suckered into believing this nonsense, that there is no hell and that there's a God of love who would never put anybody in hell. You are deceived if you believe that. You have bought into a lie from Satan. I'm going to tell you what the Son of God will do if you reject him and the grace that he offers through his sacrificial death. He will put you in hell. That's what he'll do. If you die without him, he'll put you in hell. Let's bow our heads for prayer. While we're getting ready for our invitation, I want to say if there's anybody here today that doesn't know the Son of Righteousness, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't think of a better time than right now for you to get that taken care of. Because he wants to bless you. He wants to build you. He wants to better you. He desires to do these things for you, but if you squander his grace and reject his sacrifice until you leave this world, he will burn you. He will put you in hell. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you'd take this simple message and you'd use it as only you can. And if there's anybody here today that's not saved, that this day, this moment, right now, they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, let's stand.